League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to the Point Forward Podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
He's Jim Ozarski, Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Here's a little Point Forward 5. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, talking about a couple games featuring the Milwaukee Bucks since we last chatted. A very excruciating loss to the Charlotte Hornets that comes down to a foul that the NBA admitted maybe was a mistake. Shouldn't have made that call. Oopsie-daisy. LaMelo Ball just tripped over his own feet. Oopsie-oopsie. The Bucks lose kind of a heartbreaker there, but then come back and survive the Houston Rockets. Lost a big lead. Looked like they were going to lose. We've seen a few games like that. Damian Lillard hits a driving layup with under 5 seconds to play. That gives the Bucks the lead. They hold on for dear life on a botched defensive possession that nonetheless went Milwaukee's way. Maybe, Jim, this is the way that the ball knew. You know, the ball knows. We've seen a lot of Rasheed Wallace gifts this year because the Bucks have had a couple bad calls go against them, including what the NBA admitted was a bad call a couple games ago that allowed Detroit to force overtime, or actually should have allowed Detroit to win the game, did not hurt them, and should not have hurt the Bucks like it almost did. How are you feeling? What are the vibes at? I feel like, you know, if you say they split these two games, that's definitely not the direction I would have thought it would go. I thought they would have beaten Charlotte and lost to Houston. But a couple close calls. A corner's been turned, I feel like. The offense is certainly not humming along, but it is in a place where it should be able to win more games than it loses. At least that's how I'm seeing it. Tell me what you're feeling.
Yeah, I mean, they're finally seeing the results, Cher. I mean, they've won 3 of 4 since that 2-8 start. I mean, literally should be 4 straight wins.
Yeah.
If not for the officials' admitted mistake, which cost Doc Rivers $25,000.
Oh, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. And so I think, JR, on these PFPs and the pods that we've been doing, I've been telling you the team has been believing they're behind Doc. They think, but they just weren't getting results. A lot of that was variance. Now, guess what? Gary Trent Jr. is making threes. Brooke Lopez is making threes. Sounds simple, but big deal. Big reason why they've been able to win, and they've kind of overcome, kind of the goofiness in Detroit, seminal performance by Giannis, losing Charlotte, bounced back. And look, they were down 16-3 against Houston, JR, first quarter, built a 14-point lead, lost it, came back. Houston's a good team. They forced Giannis into 8 turnovers. He scored 20 points on 9 of 17 shooting. Dame,
20
good that he's back after a week off of in the concussion protocol, but clearly rusty. Mm-hmm. Clearly wasn't able to be his sort of full capacity, and yet they beat one of the best teams in the Western Conference to date. So, JR, this is the start of a 4-game home stretch. I thought winning 3 of 4 is sort of mandatory. You start with one against arguably the hardest team in that stretch. Now you get a couple days off. You end with a back-to-back, the dreaded Indiana Pacers in a NBA Cup game. I mean, who's not fired up for that, JR? So, yeah, they've felt this was coming, but it's all about the results, and 3 of 4 are the results for the first time this season.
I think it's an interesting game coming up against the Bulls on Wednesday, because obviously that was where things went wrong in the very beginning. And now you get a progress report. Like, this is a team the Bucks should dominate. And they absolutely did not. Kobe White lit them up the first time around. And now you have an opportunity to show, okay, we've made some improvements. Now, they're still not full strength. You know, Chris Middleton, among the injuries that they have still had. Obviously Chris Middleton hasn't played yet this year, but I do feel like there are signs that they are figuring it out. Gary Trent, especially, he had 12 points on Monday night. You had Brooke Lopez doing awesome things. It took a tough tumble. Hopefully he's all right. But Brooke Lopez, I feel like, has really stepped up. You know, I you said off mic something that's true. he was in a shooting slump like everybody else to start the year, and that's not the case anymore. He's figured some things out. Doc Rivers even said that, you know, just keep giving them chances. They're going to start to fall. Had a very funny anecdote about Doc Rivers being frustrated with the Bears' loss to the Packers, which I really appreciated. That's up at jsonline.com if you don't know what we're talking about. But Brooke Lopez is just such a rock, so consistent. He catches a lot of static for being an old man who moves slowly. Got to tell you, he was a young man who moved slowly too once upon a time. It's not like he was ever a Ferrari getting up and down the floor, but he has always been able to contribute. And I don't feel like there are many players like him, especially just what he can do defensively and also shoot. Like, this is, I don't know. I just want you to sing his praises because I'm a big fan of Brooke Lopez. I think his jersey should hang in the rafters when this is all said and done.
That's an interesting conversation.
You can have it.
Yeah. This team, obviously, we talk about the big three, but that has been amended over the years to the core four, right? And that's Brooke Lopez. And he is in the last year of a massive two-year deal. He's making $23 million this year. Defensively, he has been an anchor all season. The offense has finally come around. 29 points, 8 rebounds, 5 blocks against Detroit. A rare double-double for Brooke against Houston, 27 points, 10 rebounds. Guess what? Another 4 blocks. JR, he's had 3 steals in 2 of the last 3 games. It's not a coincidence that he has become more active as a defensive rebounder, because typically that has not been his job in his time here under Bud, under Griff, early with Doc. They have clearly said, we need your help. Like, you can't just clear space and let someone else get it. Like, that's failing. So his emphasis on defensive rebounding, I think, is key. Obviously, the scoring and getting his shot back is good. 5 of 8 against Detroit, 5 of 8 against Houston. Has offset some kind of games, but he said last night, JR, look, even if it's not going in, I still have to shoot that shot, because if I pass it up, it sort of breaks the rest of the offense. Like, when the ball is being moved around properly, those shots must be taken, because then that means everything is working. The defense can't sag onto Giannis or Dame. And now they're starting to make them. You mentioned Gary Trent. Defensively, Brooke is playing at sort of that DPOY level again, for sure, JR. I haven't looked after last night, but I would imagine league leader, around the league leaders in blocks. The steals are actually fairly incredible. He had a 4 steal game earlier in the year. Real quick, you mentioned Chicago. They're still, they're bad defensively. They gave 143 to these same Rockets 2 nights ago. But they're scary offensively. They're a top 10 offensive team still. 122 points against Detroit. That variance, you mentioned Coby White. So, yeah, I think it's fair to say, you know, they rolled the ball out in game 2 of the season, the Fiserv Forum opener, thinking they're just going to smash these crappy Bulls, 2-0, let's go. They got punched in the mouth, and it took them a long time to settle in. And so you're right, JR. I think, how do you come out? How do you play against the same team, same guys? They're going to play the same way. Are you going to win 2 in a row, 4 or 5? Or are you going to have the same kind of letdown? We haven't seen that letdown since. Beating Toronto, beating Detroit, should have beat Charlotte. Let's see if they can do that against the Bulls.
I'm going to try to read these comments from Doc Rivers in a raspy voice, the way that Doc Rivers would. No, I'm not going to do that. That sounds like a bad idea. I thought the final play was the ref blowing a call. This is back-to-back games now where on the final play, there's been an incorrect call made. LaMelo Ball fell. He just fell down. Nobody was near him. Slipped on his own. We come up with the ball. The game's over. So back-to-back games now, we've had a call made against us that was incorrect. These are words, of course, that got Doc Rivers fined by the NBA. I know it is cardinal rule. You don't publicly say that the ref screwed up. In basketball and football, it's true across sports. But he was 100%. This is a call that legitimately cost them the game, because they will have gotten that ball. It is a turnover. I guess you could argue with like 2 seconds left, the Bucks could miss some free throws and maybe the Hornets hit a half court. That is all possible, I guess. feels like it's more along the lines of this was the call that changed the outcome of the game. And the NBA came out and said, yeah, that's our bad. You're right. He did just fall down, as anyone could see, except the ref, who believed that Giannis somehow made the contact to make that happen, willed it to happen with his mind. A couple thoughts here. What do you think about that fine? I get it. You can't criticize the refs. But when the league, Lori Nickel wrote about this at JS Online, the league itself came out and said, yep, you were right, but also give us $25,000. And then, moreover, I would be interested in a little more about Giannis getting that whistle. Like, you know, that's kind of a conversation that's ebbed and flowed over the years. Does Giannis not get a superstar whistle? Is it assumed because he's so much bigger and faster that he's just knocking people over? Like, I don't know if that's still something you think about.
Yeah, it's interesting, JR. You're right. I think the league, I mean, the way I would understand it is we will own up to the fact after the fact. So it can't change the outcome, but that's got to be good enough. And yeah, you can't criticize officials publicly in that way. You know, he called it a blown call, which is probably maybe the you know, got it wrong. You can't guess. You know, I mean, he's sort of calling into question their abilities in that way. I'm guessing that's what it was. At the very least.
Yeah.
Now, to his point of that's two games in a row defensively, Giannis didn't get the benefit of the doubt. That's interesting, JR, because let's be real. I mean, Giannis hasn't made an all defensive team in a couple years for a reason. He has not been that DPOY level defender the last few years. So I wonder if his reputation on that side of the ball had slipped to some degree. That's two games in a row where he made, like, those two plays, JR, you would argue could be on a all-defensive first team highlight, right? And he followed that up with three in a row against Houston, guards Fred VanVleet, and, of course, Giannis quips, hey, he didn't fall down, so that was great. Recovers, blocks Alperen Şengün's shot. Incredible shot. Now, he stepped out of bounds getting the ball, so, like, you know, it maybe that evens out with LaMelo.
Don't you dare,
but you know, I don't know. Defensively, it's a good question. His defense has really ramped up since, you know, he called out his teammates for competing in New York, and he said, look, I got to be accountable also. And I think his defense since then, JR, has been superb. Like, two-way, all-defense type level. What's also interesting, though, is, you know, he hasn't shot a lot of free throws these last few games, and that was also part of Doc's rant. And JR, it's funny. I wasn't sure if to go there because Doc was clearly hot, and he kind of mentioned Giannis shoots one free throw, and I'm like, well, this has kind of been a thing the last week. And so he kind of went some more on Giannis not getting some of those calls, and he didn't go to the line a lot against Houston either. So maybe there's some Shaq issues there, JR. He's just so big that offensively it's, you know, he doesn't get the call, and maybe defensively he's had to re-earn some respect to a degree, which is interesting to think about.
Yeah, we will not put on that defensive highlight reel how he sort of let Şengün just kind of, you know, be wide open on the last
that wasn't the honest thing.
No, but he was the defender there who was then not there. That one, we'll talk about that, or the foot on the baseline. No, I didn't see it. I don't know what you're talking about. I do think it evened out. Like you said, I think that going 1-1 in these two games is actually quite all right. I'm very encouraged. I think that they're going to be fine. You know, I think DeLon Wright is playing better than he was. Andre Jackson he only played sparingly against Houston, but, like, he's useful. They have a spot for him. They have a niche for him. And I think that's encouraging too. There's just around the fringes on this team. And then there's the Chris Middleton thing. When is Chris Middleton coming back? Because that's going to be a pretty big game changer for them still. I know there's probably nothing new that you could say, but as we check in with these Milwaukee Bucks, do you have any sense that Chris Middleton might be back? Because Christmas is getting realer and realer by the day, Jim.
Yeah, it's that we've tried, you know, I guess in front of the camera, behind the camera, to see if they're willing to do anything different than what they're doing. For instance, you know, Boston sends out, here's a medical update on Kristaps Porzingis. He has now hit these levels. This is what's next, blah, blah, blah. You know, Oklahoma City did the same thing with Jalen Williams, actually saying he had a setback in his hamstring recovery. The Bucks are an organization that, for the most part, chooses not to do anything or say anything. And so it's just sort of left to the head coach to deal with it. So really, it's probably up to Doc and his patience. And let's be honest, JR, he just came from several seasons in Philadelphia. So I would imagine his patience with injury questions, specifically around, you know, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, this is probably a cakewalk for him. Chris, I don't know. I mean, it's still just it. You know, Chris told us on October 31st, it was the only time the league mandates injured players to talk 2 weeks after, you know, sort of started the season. You know, no issues with the surgery, no issues with the rehab. I think it's probably fair to say, you know, there's either pain management or reactivity to activity, right? JR, like, he's doing all these things. And a part of the process to return is, how does the body feel the next morning, the next day? Can you practice 2 days in a row? Can you play two games in a row? Can you play 5 and 7? Like, the Bucks are in a streak here, 2 weeks, JR. They play 10 games in 14 days. Like, that's, can he do that? Clearly the answer is no, because he's not here, right? So, you know, I think that's just what it is. And you can't really make a body magically, you know, fix that. So I think they're just going to keep rolling and going as they can. And when Chris comes back, I'm sure it'll be on some sort of restriction and it'll go. I think if there's one silver lining, JR, for as frustrating as his returns to action have been these last several years, they do seem to get it right. You know, when he returned a couple years ago, that's when they ripped off 16 in a row.
Yep.
When he returned last year, like, he's, and he tends to play well right away and the team tends to win. And then he's like back, right? Like, aside from stepping on Kevin Durant's ankle, which created a whole other set of issues, like, he, once he's managed in, he's in. So, you know, I you're right. I didn't think we would be knocking on the door Thanksgiving here. But here we are. And I guess if you're a Bucks fan, you just got to look at this team turning and the minutes AJ Green and Andre Jackson Jr. have gotten, and knowing, like, hey, when Chris comes, Torian Prince, the way he's playing, and knowing that when this other all-star comes back, those guys are in more defined roles, but they've got a broader sample size to build off of, can only be positive.
Jim, when I sit down for Thanksgiving dinner, I think the Bucks are going to be 500. They'll have won 4 in a row. They'll have beaten 4 teams that they should beat in all Eastern Conference foes.
Where's the doom ring?
You know what, Jim? We're going to have to retire it. I'm on Blue Sky now. You know, on Twitter, everything's different.
You're not going to retire it.
The ecosystem's different. No, I'll find reasons to be down on this team. I'm feeling okay. And I mean, they're a game and a half out of the sixth seed. You know, the Miami Heat are the sixth seed. That's a game and a half behind a team that won't have to be in the play-in. Like, they're so okay right now for as bad. I mean, everything went wrong. Short of Giannis getting injured, everything went wrong. And here they are. They're okay. They're lucky that the East is terrible, that the 76ers are 2-11. Oh my Lord. So they're okay.
I mean, and look, and JR's time has gone on. They, 4 of their losses are to 2 teams at the East who are combined 26-3. And they were
all close to a degree.
And you can make, look, the one game in Cleveland in which they came back, Chris and Giannis didn't play. The other loss that Cleveland needed a buzzer beater with some really good defense, Chris didn't play. Chris obviously didn't play the Boston games. So there, first of all, you got sort of your 4 hardest conference games out of the way in early fashion. And look, guys, or Jared, they get Cleveland again here relatively soon.
Yeah.
So in terms of schedule stuff, those tests came early. They lost. I know they feel okay about how they played. Obviously, they're not happy because they didn't win. And then to your point, Orlando's at 9-6, and we go all the way down to Brooklyn at 5-9, and the Bucks kind of now in there as well. It's the East is muddled from three on down, and if Middleton comes back and they keep progressing, I don't know if they'll be 500, but they're on that way, maybe a little quicker than we thought after a 1-6 start.
Anything else that has struck your fancy this week that we haven't talked about? We haven't talked about AJ Green or anything like that. Anything else that jumps to mind before I send you away?
Look, it is positive. I mentioned this last pod. I know fans are excited about the young guys playing. That's great. They're still losing games. They're still under 500. I do think Chris is so important because it just solidifies everything.
Sure does.
And what I've liked about Doc Rivers, JR, is he hasn't been tied to any one person or lineup. It's sort of whatever's going to work, this is what we're doing. And it's one thing to say that at the start of the year. It's another to do it. Mm-hmm. DeLon Wright was benched. Gary Trent Jr. was benched. Andre started and then was benched. And then he played and then he didn't. And then AJ Green was benched for a game. Pat Connaughton
didn't play last night.
Pat Connaughton almost won the game for them in Charlotte. And then, not AJ's doing this thing against the Rockets, and it's past time to sit. That's a hard thing to do as a coach, to say and then to do. I think it's a credit to him, and I think it's a bigger credit to the team. I've been telling you since the jump, JR, they have felt good about one another, mm-hmm. and there's probably no better evidence of that than them not fraying and coming apart when they've been losing and guys are not playing, or they're not playing a ton of minutes, or they're not in the role they thought. That's like a recipe for disaster for really weak, weakly connected teams, and that clearly has not been the case. So it's worth pointing out.
He is Milwaukee Bucks reporter Jim Ozarski for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Find everything he has at jsonline.com. He'll be covering these next four games, all victories that will get the Bucks back to 500 before Thanksgiving. I do not know if we will have a video between then and now. So happy Thanksgiving, Jim. Hope you have a great wherever the Bucks are. I hope you have a good feast and or not. I don't know how that's going to work out for you, but we will of course be back in touch between the holidays, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, talking Milwaukee Bucks. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.